are in a season and a time where my holiness and my goodness and my joy spreads throughout this earth. For salvation has come to you. I've given you my Son. He finished his work and he did my will. So trust in him today. Take his hand and he will show you the way. He'll give you the words that you need to hear. So hold them close and hold them dear. They are your life support. They are your revealed truth. They will guide you and lead you along with my Spirit. So take hold of me today, says the Lord. Rest in me, lean on me, and I will guide you in the way that you should go. Hallelujah. Jesus. And we first talked about how important the name of Jesus is and why that is exalted the way it is. And then we're looking at different aspects of God's names, all right? Because they all relate to Jesus. Because it was God the Father who gave Jesus a name above every name. And there's no other name whereby men can be saved. And Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So names of God, they reveal a characteristic about Jesus. And we're going to look at one today, found in this passage of Scripture, Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 1 through 6. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture. You won't find that here. Amen. And therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, you have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings. Anybody want to be a pastor on that, based on that scripture? And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And we've actually seen that in our history. God brought back together the Israelites who were scattered across the globe, and he brought them back, and then what was it, 1948? They officially became a nation once again after God brought them back together. Okay? And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them. Now you're getting to a shepherd that's here. Amen. And they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed. How many want to live fearless? And let nothing dismay you or get you off your game. Neither shall they be lacking, says the Lord. Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and his name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. This morning I want to talk to you about magnifying the name of Jesus, the Lord our righteousness. That is Jehovah Tsidkenu. Whether it's pronounced that way, I don't know, because I don't speak Hebrew. But it is the Hebrew of Jehovah Tsidkenu. It is the Lord our righteousness. And Jehovah is the self-existent, ever will be, always will be God. He is the Lord. And the Tsidkenu part is the right, the natural, moral, or legal right. It means to make right. It means to cleanse, to clear yourself. Like if you were accused of a crime and now you're cleared. Okay? It means to do justice. It means to be righteous. So the Lord is our righteousness. We cannot be made right apart from the Lord. Now, if I was to take a show of hands, how many of us desire to be right? Right? I mean, we fight, don't we? We fight for the right to be right, don't we? We argue to be right. But you know what? The only right that's going to matter in life is if you're right with God. Okay? So I want to talk to you today about how the Lord is our righteousness. Okay? God wrapped up his righteousness in one person. He gave us the gift of righteousness to be made right with God, to be justified, to be able to have access into his throne room. See, before you knew Jesus, you weren't right. I wasn't right. We were all messed up. Right? There is no one righteous, not one. You can't be good enough to earn righteousness. You can't buy righteousness. Can't even buy it on the black market. Besides, it would cost you too much anyway. There's only one way that you can become righteous, and that is put your faith in Jesus Christ. Major Ian Thomas said this, "The one who calls you to a life of righteousness is the one who, by our consent, lives that life of righteousness through you." In other words, God's inviting us to do a divine exchange this morning. He wants to live his life through you. He wants to dwell in you. He wants to share his thoughts with you. Amen? The Bible does say that we have the mind of Christ, and the mind of Christ is really the Holy Spirit. So let's see what this righteousness is to us, all right? Go with me to Psalm chapter 11. Psalm chapter 11. And hopefully you have a Bible. If not, you can look up on the screen. I don't know about you, but I'm a Bible junkie. I love the Word. Psalm 11 and verse 7. "For the righteous Lord loves righteousness. His countenance does behold the upright." God loves righteousness. Why? Because he is righteous. He loves it when we live right. He loves it when we act right. He loves it when we speak right. And we cannot do that apart from him. Amen? Because he is our righteousness. So today we're all going to get in the canoe. Jehovah sent canoe. There's a canoe big enough for all of us to fit. Okay? So we're going to get in the canoe. And once you enter the canoe, you become righteous. Go to Psalm 33. Psalm 33. We're simply going to let the Bible define what this is. Psalm 33. Verses 4 and 5. "For the word of the Lord is right." How many know that in the world there is wrong and there is right? Right? "So the word of the Lord is right. All his works are done in truth." Verse 5. "He loves righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord." You know, I've often heard people say, "Why are all these bad things happen?" But I've yet to hear someone say, "Why are all these good things happen?" there's as much good things happening as there are bad things. All right? When you come to a traffic light, what do you call it? How many call it a red light? Why don't you call it a green light? It's as much green as it is red. Why do we call it a red light? Because we're conditioned to be negative. I mean, you just have to listen to the news. And 24 hours a day, negative, 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 negative. Doesn't matter which one you listen to. Amen? But the Lord, His word is right. You want to find the right way? It's right here. You want to find the right path? It's right here. You want to do right in your life? This will help you right here. His word is right. Okay? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 over in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Are you with me today? For those of you that are righteous, you can rejoice. Because this will help you to minister righteousness to someone else. Amen? But maybe you're here today and you're not right with God. Well, today is an opportunity. Getting right with God takes a moment. It can happen the moment you believe in Jesus Christ. The moment you put your trust and faith in Him, boom, you become righteous. It's like going through an X-ray scanner at the airport. The minute you go through and you don't have any metal on you, you're clear. You're cleared. You can go and get to your gate. But if you've got metal on you, you've got to take it out of your pockets. You got to take it off your shoes. You got to take your belt off. You know, it's good to wear pants that don't fall down without the belt. Right? I've had that happen. I need my belt to hold my pants up. But see, if you want to get to God, too many times we got all this metal on us. And we go through the scanner. Beep! Don't you hate that annoying noise? And then what do you got to do? You got to go back. You know, go through it again. Beep! Then you go back. And then, you know, they take some more stuff out. Then they do the hand scanner. You know, make sure that you... This is what God does. See, if you want to get to God, you're going to have to be made right. And it's something that only He can do through your faith. Jesus Christ, we become righteous in Him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And let's go down to verse 20. Well, we better start with verse 19. To say that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself. How many has ever reconciled your checkbook? Right? Isn't that a good feeling to know that things balance? Right? Well, God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself. In other words, He was correcting the mistakes. He was righting the wrongs. He was renewing the old. And He was making you right. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Did you know that you are a reconciliation agent? You are commissioned by God, and all of us have been given the ministry of reconciliation. What does that mean? All of us can introduce the reconciler to someone who needs to be reconciled. It's called witnessing. It's called sharing your faith. It's called being friendly. Amen? Verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. And verse 21. He has made Him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in Him. So let me show it to you this way. Christ did not commit any sin, but we did, because we were born into sin. It was all because of the sin of disobedience in the beginning, in the garden, all right? Sin makes you black. Sin separates you from God. Sin breaks relationship between you and God. So what did God do? He took someone who knew no sin. He had a clean slate. Jesus did not commit a sin. Jesus did not do anything wrong. Jesus, even though he was tempted, he said no, no, no every time. He made him who knew no sin to be sin, so that we, through his blood, could be like him. He took our sin upon him. He shed his blood. He wiped our sin away, and now we look like this in God's sight. That's what being made righteous is all about. It's about having a right nature, a right relationship with God. You know, I'm sure that some of us in this room have experienced broken relationships on some level. And when a relationship is broken, there's a lot of hurt, there's a lot of pain, there's a lot of emotion, right? There's a lot of sorrow. And sometimes that relationship can be repaired and restored. I was in a relationship one time in my life, and it was a pastor-mentor relationship. And this pastor promised me but he said he was going to have me preach sometime. Well, he never did. And he kind of made some excuses, and then eventually I got to, but when he introduced me, he said, you know, here comes Doug to bring the word. He didn't say to minister or anything like that. Well, anyway, I got offended. I was hurt. There was a broken relationship. And God sent me a wife who doesn't let me stray from a straight line. If I go to the left or the right, she calls me on it immediately. We all need spouses like that. Amen? She's my helper. She helps me do what I'm supposed to do. She helps me be a man of my word. If I'm not, she calls me on it and gives me an opportunity to change quickly. And believe me, she exercises the fear of God. This is all good. So I remember one day, you know, I was complaining about this because this was early on, and she said, you know, you need to take care of this. She said, if I'm going to be married to you, you got to get your heart right. So I got my heart right. And you know how good God is? We went to Orlando, Florida. I had lost contact with this pastor, and found out that he was in Orlando, Florida, and he was pastoring a different church. And guess what? I got to talk with him. He invited me to speak, and we had a great and glorious time. But a relationship that had been broken had been restored. And this is what righteousness is all about. Righteousness restores our relationship with God. It doesn't matter how bad you messed up. It doesn't matter how many mistakes you made. It doesn't matter how bad of a person you think you are. God can restore relationship with him through righteousness. He who knew no sin became sin so that we could become the righteousness of God in him. Amen? Hallelujah. And righteousness is something that we need to practice. When you become righteous, you get a doctorate. That just means that you're now a Christian and you get to practice. Amen? You get to practice being righteous. Being made righteous is an instant, but living a righteous life is a lifetime. That occurs one day at a time. Number two, righteousness is a lifestyle. It corrects wrongs, cleans messes, straightens crookedness, and turns mistakes around. Woo! I love it when God turns mistakes around. Amen. John Hagee said this: God never alters the robe of righteousness to fit the man. Rather, he alters the man to fit the robe of righteousness. How many are being altered at this very moment? John Wesley, I love this quote. I read this and I just thought this was awesome. I preach the righteousness of the law and the righteousness of faith. While I was speaking, several dropped down as dead among the rest. Such a cry was heard of sinners groaning for the righteousness of faith that it almost drowned my voice. But many of these soon lifted their heads with joy and broke out into thanksgiving, being assured they now had the desire in their soul, the forgiveness of their sins. What a joy it is to receive the forgiveness of sins, to have that burden lifted, to have the guilt removed, to have the shame gone. Jesus did not come to condemn the world. He came to save the world. He did not come to say, you bad girl, you bad boy. He came to say, how can I bridge the gap so that I can bring you to my Father? How did he bridge the gap? Like this. God on one side, man on the other, Jesus in the middle. Go to Psalm chapter 5. Psalm chapter 5. So righteousness, it cleans, it straightens, it corrects, it turns around. And go down to verse 8. Psalm 5, verse 8. It says, lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness. God wants to lead you in his righteousness. Because of my enemies, make my way straight before my face. What's the quickest way to get from point A to point B? A straight line. It's not like this. What took you so long? I made a lot of zigzags. But a straight line is going to be the quickest way to get from point A to point B. Amen? And this psalmist prayed, lead me in your righteousness, make my way straight. Being made righteous means your life is straightened out. It means you're now on the right path to find your true purpose. When you're not serving God, you're not doing your purpose. Because you can only find your purpose with God because he created you. I cannot go to a Ford engineer and tell him to fix my GM. Although he knows about cars, there might be something that GM puts in different than Ford. They might do things different. Amen? GM makes GM, Ford makes Ford. And I'm just a fan of one that drives. Good. Amen? I have no loyalties other than consistency and reliability. Go to Psalm 23. We're probably familiar with this psalm, the Psalm of the Shepherd. Psalm 23. Look at what it says in verse 3. He restores my soul, and he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now you say, why does he say paths? Are there many paths to God? No, there's not many paths to God. But that word paths is referring to day-to-day operations. Every day, you can get on the righteous path that will take you to God and to blessedness and to success, or you can get on the wrong path that will take you away from God and away from those other things. Amen? So he leads you on the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Listen, he staked his name on righteousness. His name is righteous. He is the Lord our righteousness, Jehovah Tsidkenu. And he will lead you on paths of righteousness. That means there's paths that you shouldn't be on. And the Holy Spirit will give you warning signs. Right? You ever go to a beach and it says no swimming? Because of maybe a strong current or maybe Jaws was there? Dun-dun. You know, some people keep traveling in life knowing that the bridge is out, but they keep going that direction. Oh, I'll be fine. I can handle it. Listen, you cannot handle once you get to the bridge. If the bridge is out and you keep going, you're going to crash and it's going to hurt. But the righteousness of God, he'll lead you on paths of righteousness. That means he'll lead you every day. Did you know that when you woke up this morning, God had a bundle of new mercies ready and waiting for you? Better than a cinnamon bun with frosting on it that just came out of the oven. I woke up this morning and I smelled fresh mercy. I don't know about you, but I need mercy. I'll probably need some more tomorrow too. But his mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm giving your fingers a workout today. But it's okay, amen? You know, if your fingers would work out more, you wouldn't experience as many trials and difficulties. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and we're going to start with verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? That's like oil and water. And what communion has light with darkness? What concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believes with an infidel? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. Not only will God dwell in you, but he'll walk in you. He'll help you walk in the right way. He'll help you live a godly life. He doesn't expect us to do this on our own. He's helping us. He will walk in you. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Because when you're walking with God, God loves to tell the devil, she's mine, he's mine. Ha, ha, ha. Even the devil recognized that he couldn't do anything to Job because God had put a hedge around him. When God makes you righteous, he builds a fortress around you. He is your shield, your buckler. He is your fortress. He is your strong tower, right? And when you're walking in righteousness, the attacks from the enemy, they may come, but they're unsuccessful. The enemy's plans come to naught because you are surrounded by righteousness. Righteousness is really a shield to us. Living right. You know, the world wants to say, nice guys finish last. But that's a lie, because Jesus was the nicest guy ever, and he's on the top. He finished in the highest place. So apparently, Scripture says, nice guys finish first. Amen? But see, we have these phrases in this negative world. Do you know that this world system is run by Satan currently? But what's even worse is we gave him control. What's worse, that he's running it or how he got to run it? Huh? The Bible teaches us to pursue righteousness. Righteousness is like the Duke boys to Roscoe P. Coltrane. Was my dog Flash. What was he always doing? He was always in pursuit of the Duke boys. You have to, young people have to go on YouTube. Dukes of Hazzard. What is that? We're to pursue righteousness. It should be a pursuit in our life. What are you doing? I'm living to be right. Number three, righteousness is an instrument of justice. Whoa. You mean righteousness is an instrument of justice? Yeah. Listen to this. Go to Psalm 96. Psalm 96. And look at what the Bible says. God's goal is for everyone to be righteous. But not everyone is righteous because they don't receive it by faith. All right? Psalm 96 and verse 13. Behold, before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. So how is God going to judge the world? He's going to judge based on what he has defined what is right. How do we judge marriage? Based on how God defines it. God defined it as a man and a woman. That's what he defined it. He's going to judge the world in righteousness. Not public opinion. Not what the world thinks. Not according to the world standards. All right? I'll never forget. How many of you ever seen the YouVersion Bible app? Well, I heard a preaching one time of the guy who came up with that app, Craig Groeschel. And when he first came up with that app, people were telling him, the Bible's not an app, the Bible's a book. If you read the Bible on an app, you're going to hell. That's what people were telling him. Because sometimes we get our tradition. That's the world talking. Yeah, the Bible's a book, but in today's technology, we can put books on apps. We can look at books with devices. Doesn't make it bad or wrong. You know, if you spend money with cash or a credit card, is it bad or wrong? As long as you pay your bills, amen? Does it matter how you do it? Well, it matters how you get the money, but I'm just talking about the exchange itself, right? He's going to judge the world in righteousness. Psalm 89:14, you don't have to turn there, but it says, righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. So God sits on two things, righteousness and justice. And he is the only one capable of exercising both or executing both. His throne is seated on righteousness and justice. Okay? I mean, he's very much into righteousness. It's his name. It's his throne. Everything about him is righteous. Okay? I love this, Psalm 85:10. Let's just turn there. This is a good one. Psalm 85:10. I love this one. Psalm 85, verse 10. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. They all meet in Jesus. Jesus is the epitome of mercy and truth, righteousness and peace. They all come together in Jesus. He is merciful. He is the truth. He is righteousness. Amen. He is the Prince of Peace. They all converge in Jesus. All right? Number four. How do we obtain righteousness? You know, it's important to know how to get it, right? Let's go to Genesis chapter 15. Did you know that they obtained righteousness way back in Genesis? But that's the Old Testament, Pastor. Yeah, but it works the same way. Did you know that the new fulfills the old? Right? The old is like a 50-cent piece. The new is like a dollar. What would you rather have, a dollar or a 50-cent piece? Well, you'd rather have the dollar, right? Because the dollar includes the old, but it's got more. Amen? So we ought to look at the old in light of the new. Genesis 15, and let's look at verse 6. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Who's he? The he is Abraham. How did he become, how was he credited righteousness? He did a bunch of good things, right? Is that what the Bible says? He jumped up and down until God said, you're going to be righteous. No, he didn't do that either. He gave God a whole bunch of money to be credited righteous. What did he do to become righteous? He believed in the Lord. I am the Lord. I believe it. You're real. That's it. Woo! I'm righteous. It happens just like that. The moment you believe, it happens by faith. How do we obtain righteousness? We do it by faith. All right? Go to Romans chapter 4. Go to Romans chapter 4. And we get the full story about how Abraham became righteous. Verse 1, Romans 4, verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham were justified by his works, he has whereof to glory, but not before God. For what says the Scripture? I love it. Paul is referring to the Scripture. If you want to believe something, your belief has to line up with the Scriptures. If you believe something that's not in the Scriptures, guess what? You must change your belief. It is not valid or accurate. Belief is only accurate when it lines up with Scripture. Because Scripture is the only thing that produces faith. For what does the Scripture say? Anytime that, you know what? If you ought to question your beliefs. You know? You say, I believe this. And then you ask yourself, what does the Scripture say? Well, I believe that. Well, what does the Scripture say? If you argue about what you believe, what does the Scripture say? The Scripture is the referee, the umpire. Okay? Because there's three sides to every story. Your side, their side, and the truth. Amen? Romans 4, verse 3. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. He believed in God, and in his account was righteousness. It showed up in his account. When he opened up his checkbook, he saw righteous in there. This was before Jesus had even come. He was saved on credit. When did Abraham actually get saved? When Jesus died and he went and preached to the people in the place, he preached the gospel to them. He was the firstborn from the dead, but then they followed him. That's when Abraham got born again, for real. But here, he got born again on credit simply by his faith. He believed God. God, you're righteous. He was USHG, that's U.S. Holy Ghost approved. You know, like what they do with beef, USDA approved, right? You want to look for the stamp of approval, right? When you pay your tax bill, you want to see that stamp paid in full, right? When Abraham believed in the Lord, he was stamped as righteous. He was labeled righteous. You may pass. He was righteous. He didn't have to do anything else other than believe. Can you say amen? That's how we obtain righteousness. Romans 1:17, you don't have to turn there, but it says, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. It's revealed by faith. Having faith in God, having faith in His Word, it gets credited to you as righteous. Clean, holy, pure. The moment you believe God and you become righteous, you can actually enter into God's presence. you can actually enter into his throne. Well, how do I do that? It's a spiritual place for us. I mean, it's an actual place, but we can go there by the Spirit. Amen? He said for us to come boldly before his throne of grace, right? That you may obtain mercy and find grace when? When you need it. How many's ever needed grace? How many's ever needed mercy? Well, where do you go? You got to go to the throne to obtain it. How do you get there? You become righteous. How do you become righteous? You believe in him. You believe in him. Have faith in God. That's the only way to become righteous. God made it so simple. Why? He wants everybody to be righteous. He doesn't want anybody to be left out. Amen? Go to Romans chapter 3. This is kind of an in-depth description. The Bible says, with the heart man believes unto righteousness. With the heart you believe. You believe what God said is true. You believe that what God said is so. All right? Romans chapter 3, and let's go down to verse 21. But now, faith is what? Now. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. You cannot become righteous by even adhering to the law. You can only become righteous by trusting Jesus Christ. Being witnessed by the law and the prophets, verse 22, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all. How many? All. Upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. You could have been the worst person you possibly could have been. But the moment you believe, that all changes. God no longer sees you as that. He sees you just like he sees Jesus Christ. Do you realize how easy it is for a believer to pass from death to life? Without Christ, we're in death. But the moment we put our trust in Christ, we pass from death to life. In just a moment. And then, see, but then we have to live it out. Then we have to live out what we believe. But what if I make a mistake? Lord, forgive me. Okay, go on. What if I mess up really bad? Confess it, repent, and go on. Amen? Listen, the Bible is full of people that messed up. And God still used him. David, I mean, he committed adultery, then he committed murder, then he led a cover-up. And yet, God chose for the righteous line to come through him. All right. Verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's before Christ. Okay? Being justified how? Free, everybody say freely. How many like free stuff? Righteousness is free. It doesn't cost you anything, although it costs someone everything. They paid the bill for you so that you could enjoy it. He justifies you freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 25, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, that's talking about Jesus Christ, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Say, I'm righteous. Say, God made me righteous. Say, I believe in Jesus Christ. Therefore, I'm righteous. That's all that you need to do. That's it. Isn't God good? Hallelujah. Now, let's look at the practical application of righteousness. Now that I'm righteous, what do I do? How do I carry this out? Where the rubber meets the road. Amen? The Bible is practical. Do you realize everything that God said you can do, you can do? Everything that he said in his word, you can have, you can do, you can be. Everything. All you got, all it takes is you believing it and acting it. Amen? Go with me to Psalm 15. Psalm 15. Jonathan Edwards said this. There are two sorts of hypocrites. Ones that are deceived with their outward morality and external religion. And the others are those that are deceived with false discoveries and elevation, which often cry down good works and men's own righteousness. So here's the two extremes. You can be unrighteous, which means you don't have any relationship with Jesus, or you can be self-righteous. And who made you Lord? You cannot make yourself righteous. But when you embrace religion, you become legalistic. And you, well, I'm better than them. Remember, there was a Pharisee that was praying. And then there was a tax collector. Pharisee, tax collector. The Pharisee, he was a religious dude. He worked in the temple. He read the law. And his prayer was, oh Lord God, I'm thankful that I'm not like this guy over here. I'm paraphrasing, but you read it, that's what it says. A sinner. You know, religious people, oh Lord God Almighty. What is it with religious people when they pray? They all of a sudden become theatrical. They change their voice. And he's comparing himself with him as if he's the standard of righteousness. Then there's the publican, the tax collector, who got paid because he lied about how much money he would take more than what he owed Rome, and all the extra that he took, once he paid Rome off, was his. And the publican was there, Lord God, help me, a sinner. Jesus said, which one do you think of those became righteous? Wasn't the Pharisee. See, when you start comparing yourself with others, besides comparing yourself with others is a sin, the Bible says don't do it, then you become the standard of righteousness, then you become self-righteous. And there's no such thing as self-righteous. You're either unrighteous, self-righteous, or righteous. His side, your this story, that story, the truth. Amen? Psalm 15, it outlines how we carry out this righteousness, okay? It's a short psalm, but let's read it. Lord, who shall abide in your tabernacle? Who shall dwell on your holy hill? He that walks uprightly. That word upright means you're doing right in his sight. Okay? So it's how you walk. It's how you live. All right? And works righteousness. Righteousness is not by works, but when you're righteous, God has a work for you to do. Okay? You work righteousness. What is working righteousness? You're doing God's will. You're following the Holy Spirit. Okay? And speaks the truth in his heart. Righteousness will affect your speech. It will change your speech. You won't cuss when you're righteous. And if you do, you'll slip up. You will repent quickly. Amen? You know, once you get in the habit of cussing, it becomes really easy and you don't think about it. Oh, yeah. I mean, when I was backslidden, when I didn't know, cussing was easy. Hang out with the friends, man. We thought it was cool to cuss. God didn't. It's not cool. But you'll speak truth in your heart. And the Bible says in the New Testament, speak the truth in love. All right, verse 3. He that backbites not with his tongue. Okay, you're not going to talk about people behind their back. You're not going to stab a friend in the back. All right, that's called backbiting. You're all smiling to one guy, then when they leave, you become a grizzly bear. He that does not evil to his neighbor. You know that love does no ill to its neighbor? Love fulfills the law. Who's your neighbor? Is that the person living next to you? No. It's anybody that you come in contact with. All right? Nor takes up a reproach against his neighbor. That means when someone brings an accusation without proof. I can't believe they did that. Let's go get them. And you don't even know the truth. Get the facts first. Maybe your neighbor messed up. But you don't just take a reproach. You know, even the Bible says if you bring an accusation, at least two or three witnesses, if you bring a wrong against someone. In whose eyes a vile person is condemned. A righteous person hates vile people. People who are harsh, are rough, are abusive. All right? But he honors them that fear the Lord. A righteous person honors those that fear the Lord. Way to go. Yeah. All right. You recognize because fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All right? This is what a righteous person does. He that swears to his own hurt and changes not. Uh-oh. You made a promise, and now it's going to hurt you to make that promise come to pass. You better be hurt. God's telling you to be hurt. You suffer the hurt. You made a promise, be good on it. That's what righteousness does. Walking in righteousness means walking in integrity. It means your word is your bond. It means what you say is what you do. There's no, I don't have to read between the lines. Amen? I'm not talking about making mistakes. I'm talking about a lifestyle. Pretty soon you're going to have to pay your taxes. You better be honest. Come on. I didn't get an amen on that. I ain't going to amen. I ain't going to. Listen. You know, if your heart is not right with God, it hinders your faith. It hinders you from walking with God. It hinders you from receiving from God. And if you've got stuff in your heart like this, what I'm talking about, it'll, you know, God can't work through that. That's why he needs to clear it up. Amen? He swears to his own hurt and shame. Verse 5, he puts not out his money to usury. What does that mean? It means you don't charge a brother interest. If a member of the body of Christ wants to borrow something from you, do it interest-free. Now, you can charge the heathen interest. Amen? Because God wants the wealth of the wicked to be laid up for the just. But he's talking about people who are in the family of God, you don't charge them interest. Usury is interest. Nor takes a reward against the innocent. In other words, you don't take bribes. One preacher, he was preaching something, and the biggest giver of their church said, I don't like you preaching that. I want you to stop. And the preacher said, I'm not for sale. I'm not even for rent. In other words, he knew that this guy was the biggest giver, so the biggest giver took his family and left. So the pastor was having a little pity party in his office, and he was saying, oh, the biggest giver, you know, he's just looking at the records. The biggest giver just left. Then he heard a voice saying, no, the biggest giver didn't leave. He's like, but yeah, there's a voice, the biggest giver left. He heard a voice, the biggest giver didn't leave. He said, I'm still here. The biggest giver is God. Amen. And, you know, money is a tool. It's not meant to control. He that does these things, look at the end of that psalm. He that does these things, what? Shall not be moved. That means Satan can try to come against you, but he won't move you. You'll maintain your position. You'll maintain your place. Satan can't move you off of it when you live like this. So when you live righteous, it's actually protecting you against the enemy. Joseph did what was right in God's sight, and a lot of bad things happened to him, but because he continued to live right, he kept getting promoted. His brothers threw him in a pit. But he kept a good attitude. He went to Egypt. He was sold as a slave. He worked like he was not a slave, because his owner recognized that the work that Joseph did was better than all of his other employees. He did what was right. See, when you're righteous, you can face difficulty and prevail. But when you're wicked and you face difficulty, it'll swallow you up. He was tempted with his master's wife. She kept eyeing him up. "Don't you look handsome today, Joseph? You're so strong. You're so smart." You know, she was buttering up a little bit. And then she got the house clear. And she says, "Joseph, Joseph." He come in, he says, "I cannot do this thing against God." And he left. That's being righteous. He wasn't concerned about what man would thought. He was concerned about what God thought. He got out of there, except he left his coat. Then he was falsely accused. Then he was thrown in prison. What happened in prison? He became head of the prison. I mean, righteous is like a bobber. You push it down, it'll pop right back up. Push it down, it'll pop right back up. That's what righteousness does. Righteousness makes you resilient to the attacks of the enemy. The enemy can empty his barrels at you and you'll still be standing like, "What?" Romans 6, verse 13, "Don't present your instruments as instruments of unrighteousness." What are you looking at with your eyes? What are you listening to with your ears? Where are your feet taking you? What are your hands getting involved in? All instruments, they can be used for what's right or what's not right, right? And now let me just finish with this, the reward of righteousness. Psalms 18:20, "The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness." Psalm 18:24, "The Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands." God will reward righteousness. Proverbs 2, verse 20 and 21. "So you may walk in the way of goodness, keep the paths of righteousness, for the upright will dwell in the land." What happened to the countries that were not righteous with God? They got kicked out and they were given to his children. Right? Why did God have the Israelites destroy the other nations, the Jebusites and the Hittites and the Amorites and all the other ites? Because they were wicked. They didn't repent. God gave them mercy. They rejected his mercy. So then judgment came. The wicked were destroyed. The righteous possessed the land. I don't know about you, but I like possessing land. Amen? That's a reward of righteousness. "He who loves him will follow righteousness." Proverbs 15:9. Righteousness, the Bible says, endures forever. That sounds like something good, doesn't it? The Bible says, "All your commandments are righteous." Righteousness delivers from death. Why was it that the lions weren't hungry when Daniel was thrown into the lion's den? Because he was righteous. the lion smell. You smell like righteous. I can't eat you. The lions could not eat him. Why? Because he did nothing wrong. Even though he was accused of something doing wrong, he did nothing wrong. What was he guilty of? He was guilty of praying. Oh my gosh. Daniel was guilty of praying. He prayed when there was a law that said you can't. And God said, attaboy, good boy. He protected him. Righteousness leads to life. Hallelujah. Proverbs 13:6, righteousness guards him whose way is blameless. He guards you. He guards you. The enemy can't touch you. Why? Because you got someone guarding you. Because main righteousness is your connection with God. Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalts a nation. Why is it that Israel, it's so small in comparison to every other Arab nation, and yet they can't defeat them? Huh? Why are all the big Arab nations, they cannot conquer this little nation that's in the middle of them? Why? Because they got the righteous seed came out of there. I mean, they defeated an enemy in 6 days. You have a six-day war in the 60s? All right. Let's finish up. Go to Luke 19, then we're done for today. Only for today. There's more on Wednesday and Sunday. Luke 19. Then I'm going to close with this. I always have more notes than time, but that's a good thing. And I've learned that I can't give out all my notes. Can we be here for another couple hours? I've never been, in my very first message I preached, it was at Grace Fellowship Singles Group. They had about 50 singles there, and I was part of it, and they had a Bible study before church, and so I got to preach there. And my very first sermon, I went 50 minutes. See, when you let the Bible talk, you don't have it, you don't run out of words to say, amen? Notice, I'm not giving you my opinion. I'm not giving you my thoughts. I'm giving you God's thoughts. This is what he thinks about righteousness. Okay? Luke 19, verse 1. Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans. He was the chief IRS agent. Okay? And he was rich. Everybody say he was rich. Verse 3, he sought to see Jesus, who he was. He heard about him. He heard the things that he did, but he wanted to see him for himself. And he was short. He was of little stature. Okay? So he ran before. He climbed up into a tree to see him, for he was to pass by. All right? I'm going to be Zacchaeus. All right? And he's waiting for Jesus to pass by. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he saw Zacchaeus and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide in your house. What did Zacchaeus do? He sought Jesus out. What did Jesus do? He said, I'm going to abide in your house. When you seek Jesus, be prepared for a house guest. And he made haste and came down and received him how? Joyfully. He was glad to receive him. Verse 7, and when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. Hello, that's why he came. Jesus said, I've come to seek and save that which is lost. And Zacchaeus, verse 8, stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I've taken anything from a man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. All of a sudden, Zacchaeus was not righteous, but he wanted to be righteous. He wanted to be Jesus. He wanted to have Jesus in his heart. So he went ahead of Jesus, climbed up a tree. How many people would go to that effort just to see Jesus? And Jesus told him, he said, today salvation came to your house. And all of a sudden, in one encounter with Jesus, the man who was greedy became a giver in an instant. He was willing to give fourfold, four times anything that he took. He was willing to make things right because Zacchaeus had become righteous. When you become righteous, you have an urge and a desire in you to do things right, to make things right. You take the effort. You don't wait for people, you initiate it. If you've got a wrong relationship, you go and find that person and you make it right. Doesn't matter who's right in the why it was broke, it matters who's going to make it right. Zacchaeus met Jesus that day. He sought him out. Jesus came to his house to abide there. He received him joyfully. Zacchaeus was changed instantly. That's what righteousness does. The Lord our righteousness. It's the foundation of his throne. He's going to judge the world with righteousness. It can be obtained by faith and belief in him. Righteousness will deliver you from death. It'll lead you to life. It'll guard you. It'll protect you. It'll keep you. It'll silence the enemy. Who prevailed in Satan's attack against Job in the end? Job did. Why? Because Job did what God told him to do. He made it right, and he got double for his trouble. You think he'd have gotten double for his trouble if he wasn't righteous? Huh? But God makes us righteous. Amen? There's no mistake that you could have made. There's nothing that you can do that will take you out of God's love or that will cause him to stop loving you. God wants to know you. And the way he gets to know you is by making you righteous. You become righteous by accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Do that right now. Say, Jesus, come into my heart. Be Lord over my life. I surrender my way to you. And he will come in. He will abide with you. And you can receive him joyfully because he'll change your life. Amen. How about for you today that are here? Do you know the Lord, your righteousness? Are you righteous with God? Is there a broken relationship with him? Maybe you're kind of distant from God. Today's your day to come to him. Amen. Today's your day to embrace the Lord, your righteousness. Today is the day that everything is right, good. Amen? And if you're here today, and if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's the first step in becoming righteous. Is there anyone here today that would say, Pastor Doug, I want to know Jesus. I want to be righteous. I want to receive him into my heart. I just want you to raise your hand. I just want to pray for you. Amen? And I know that's a tough choice, but God doesn't look for weak people. He looks for people who will be willing to stand up for him and confess him boldly. Amen? Is there anyone here that would say, Doug, Pastor Doug, I need to know Jesus. I want to make Jesus my Lord and my Savior. Amen? That's step number one. And if there's anybody else here, you need prayer for anything. You need prayer for your body, you need prayer for a problem that you're facing, I'd just like to pray with you. I just want to invite you to come up. If you need prayer, come up right now and receive prayer.